Let's take our Bibles and open it up to Joel. Joel chapter 2. We're going to do something very different this morning. You know, I realize that this is going out via the web, but we're here as a local church to exhort us, and it's great that these folks can join us in our service, but I just, this is going to be different, and I'm not really sure if we should have gotten a mic around, but what we're going to do is we're going to read chapter 2 of Joel together. I'm going to read one verse, then you as a congregation read one. We're going to alternate the entire chapter, then to make a couple of comments about a few of the verses, and then I want us to pray. Maybe we'll just start on the left side here, Brother Tim. We'll just work our way around praying, and we'll lay some groundwork as to why in just a minute. But I want to begin by praying and asking God to bless this time. And the Lord just really spoke to my heart in the last 2 days about you don't need to hear my words. We need Jesus. We are seeing some dark moments, but we know nothing compared to what others are facing right now. And I want to spend some time praying because I've been impressed by the Lord yesterday and Friday that's what He wants us to do. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask, Pastor, would you open us in prayer? And then we'll read this passage alternating these verses. Okay, so obviously we do want people to be able to hear and participate via the web. So try to speak out when you have the opportunity to read the verses. I don't really know, are these mics on, Joe? Okay, and then especially when it comes time to praying, don't be timid. Make sure that I can hear you, and with the idea of letting someone else hear you as well. It isn't so much your voice, but My desire is that we're just leaving those cares with the Lord. And it helps us as believers to hear other believers pray, to also see your burden come through the prayer. It's certainly not a preaching time. We're just laying our burdens at His feet. But let's begin in Joel chapter 2. I'll read the first verse, and then you folks the second, and we'll just keep alternating down through this chapter. It says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array.
Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness.
They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks.
Every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded.
They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?
Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning.
And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, and call a solemn assembly. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?
Then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and vain his people.
Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things.
Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength.
Be glad then, O ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause... And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month.
And the forest shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil.
And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent unto you. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions.
And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Okay, so Lord has just really spoke to my heart this week. I think I've read, the book of Joel isn't very long. I think I've read it 3 times completely this week. Just thinking about the message. From Monday, I started listening to Joel on the way to work, and Tuesday I just repeated it, and then throughout the course of the week, reading it out of my Bible as well. And as we were reading these first few verses, 1 through 12, kind of, I thought about the pictures that I've seen of California on fire. And, you know, there's a certain resemblance to some of those pictures, like it almost seems like it is horse running, galloping, as it's consuming those trees. And this is speaking to Israel. This is a prophecy for Israel. But we're just drawing a couple of applications to remind ourselves of some truths that we're seeing in our day. And we've already sung some hymns that have very powerful words. But if we're not actively trying to reach people, then those words mean nothing. Literally, we are saying something out of our mouth that means nothing in our heart because we are not actively trying to reach people. And it isn't comparing you to me or me to you. We're looking at the Word of God and we're seeing what He is challenging us with, and it's truth. It's truth that there's coming a judgment day, and that those flames that we see in California, they're not stopping for anyone. Why? Because men have already lost their lives, homes have been lost, and the firemen are all over the place trying to control the flames, and they cannot control them. As it says there in verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. That's interesting, because I've read just a few little tidbits of people saying they stood up all night watching the flames come over the mountains and towards them. I think it's Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken, that the flames are coming towards, and now people are having to be evacuated. But it's just interesting there in that verse. It says, the fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame. And when you have that roaring fire, maybe you've thrown some cardboard on a bonfire to get it started or something. There's that roar that's just consuming the dry, dead stuff. But then after that roar is over, there's that steady flame that just continues to consume, and that's taking place over there because anything that was green has been evaporated and is now burning as well at a slower pace. And so we just see that example in this passage, but think of it then on the spiritual side as you consider the judgment that's going to come and then the lingering effects if people do not come to a place of repentance. It says, verse 5, like the noise of chariots, and that's what I've heard people say, is that this fire is coming with a roar. And you can see the smoke in the distance. And I can remember hearing and reading stories of back in the days when the Roman Empire was coming towards a certain place to conquer them or to lay siege, that from a distance they could hear the horses and chariots, but they could also see the smoke, but the dust of those horses galloping. And in real sense, that's what's taking place, not just in California, but in several states. From what I understand, but that like that noise of chariots, it says there in verse 6, before their face the people shall be much pained as they consider, I'm about to lose everything if I don't get out of here. Jumping down, let's see here. Where did I want to jump down to? Well, let's just jump to verse 12 because we're running out of time. And I want some time here to be able to pray with one another. It says, therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. The context is 13, rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. It's easy for us to say here this morning that Jesus is our God. That we have a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that triune God, that's our God, that we can have confidence that one day when our body is resting in this earth, that our spirit and our soul are in His presence. And I say that because in Matthew 10, the Bible says not to fear man that can kill a body, but fear Him who can cast both body and soul into what? Hell, right? And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, we see that there's this ultimate goal that the whole body, soul, and spirit be together for eternity, not separated. And that's God's will and His desire. But there are these choices that have to be made before one enters that door of death. And so as we see here, God wants his people, the context is Israel, right? So we're talking about his people, but now we have this context of the church and we're his bride. So how much more marriage should be stronger than the blood relation? Why do I say that? Because God said from Genesis 1, that a man should leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. So there's a bond there that really should be thicker than blood in that marriage. And that's what we have illustrated as Jesus laid down his life for the church, we see in Ephesians. And so as we're just contemplating this morning, the fire that's roaring, the people that are in fear right now for the physical things, for the memories and so forth, there's great need, there's devastation. God's calling his people to repentance. And as we see this, these few verses of repentance, then we see later on the blessings. Years ago, I don't know how many years ago, but a fire swept through the Baldwin area. And I don't know how many decades ago we're talking. Maybe some of you know. But I can just remember that when we went up to the property that Julie's grandpa and a couple of uncles owned, or 17 acres on the Pier Marquette in Baldwin, kind of a little bit west and maybe a mile north of this actual town of Baldwin or city. And as you're driving back in this windy trail, it used to all be state land and owned also by the railroads. It's quite a distance back in the woods, and you could see all these charred trees still standing. And probably it was the second time up there, I was like, what happened up here? And so then they told me, well, there was a fire that swept through this area. Somebody probably left their campfire going, and it swept through and consumed. But what? That wasn't what called your attention necessarily to the burn site. It was all this new growth, all of the green, just hundreds and thousands of these little trees, you know, with maybe an inch to 2 inch diameter trunk, just growing everywhere. And as we read through this passage, there is this promise of abundance, of green, of provision for the people when he talked about the wheat. And it says there, verse 26, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. There can be a blessing. We can see God's blessing if the repentance will come. But interestingly enough, this is sent to his people. And so as we consider this morning the need in our world, what is our need in our hearts this morning? What is it that we need to surrender? Pride, selfishness, arrogance, laziness, distractions, addictions. There's all kinds of things that we need to surrender to the Lord this morning, or potentially surrender to him as we consider the opportunity to labor in the fields that are white unto harvest, as the Word of God says. I don't believe that any one of us woke up this morning with the fear of being martyred today. Am I wrong? Did anybody wake up in your own bed and thinking, oh, today might be the day? I didn't. But when we did wake up and read some devotionals this morning, Julie and I, and I was kind of stunned by some of the information that I read. Every day, 300 Christians are martyred because of their faith in our world. Every day. So when we have our aches and our pains and our whinings and our murmurings about this, that, or our government or another thing, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing compared to what Christians in real time are facing today. I didn't do any math to see what the average would be per hour. But we're talking about, while we're here having church and singing these hymns and praying and fellowshipping, that Christians are dying, literally. I think it gave a staggering figure of 43 million Christians have been martyred for their faith since the time of Christ. Now, that's a great distance of time. We're talking about 43 million people. That's a lot. And I realize these statistics probably aren't including only independent fundamental Bible-believing Bible-preaching Baptists. I understand that. But it's still a staggering number for us to consider as we think of people who are being put to death because they say they believe in Jesus. Where does that put us? Where does that put us in our desire to walk in light as he is in light? When he was on the face of this earth, he wasn't even concerned about his bed or his pillow. It was about continuing to the next place, to the next place, to the next place, to reach souls with truth. And we know that people rejected him. But there were some that listened. God's given our family an awesome opportunity to get into homes and disciple. Julie and I have a couple we're discipling. Andrew has a couple people he's discipling. Elizabeth's discipling one person. And it's just amazing, and it's extremely satisfying, even when you're tired. Many times these things happen in the evening, and you're kind of tired from a long day's work. But after having opened the Word of God and encouraged someone, and I'll be honest, this week when we went to the house, we didn't even do the original study that we had planned because there was something that was just ginormous in their life that they needed some help and encouragement with from the Scripture. And that was so rewarding, even though we were tired. Julie had a pounding headache. But you know what God did for her? By the end of that time, she didn't have the headache. And it isn't that we're doing it so that we can be blessed, but that satisfaction is so worth it. Giving to others when they're in need. And there are times when they don't even realize they have a need. And it's kind of like this morning and Melody at breakfast, and she didn't really want to eat. But what would have happened if Melody wouldn't have eaten her breakfast? About right now, she's going to be done with Sunday school and she's like, "Mom, I'm hungry." So even though they didn't realize they had a need in the moment, they're like, "Okay, Melody, you got to eat your toast. You got to eat your toast with peanut butter. You got to eat your toast that you've sprinkled cinnamon sugar on. You've got to eat it." There's a need there. And so we have this opportunity, even when some people don't realize it, this is the Scripture, and this is what you and I both need equally, because it's all truth, and it's all for doctrine. It's all been inspired. So that means it's God's words out of his mouth for me and my heart and my mind and my steps. And so as we just consider what is around us right now, Christians are being martyred. Have we prayed about that? Have we asked God to help them, bless them, protect them, deliver them? I don't want to rob their crown from them, because we see that in Scripture. It wasn't too many weeks ago, Pastor was reading about those in Revelations. And so it isn't that we want to rob their crown from them, but at the same token, to pray for their safety, to pray for God's blessing, to pray for God's boldness in their lives. For ourselves, who may very well be close to that. You put Harris in there, and we're not too far off ourselves from those moments of persecution. And thinking of these fires once again, thinking of this coronavirus, Pastor Pepe wrote me, I forget, babe, was that this week? It was Tuesday. One of the ladies in the church had a baby, cesarean. That was on a Sunday. Her name is Solchi. Was Solchi, because on Monday she passed away. And she left three little ones, a two-year-old baby, and then like a two, three-year-old, and then like a four, six-year-old child. And so he's writing me, and he says, "Brother," he says, "I feel so powerless right now. The corona thing hasn't let up in Aguascalientes. It's a very real thing. Many people have died. There's just differences on the medical side, on the resistance side. The way of life is different. The heart condition, the lung condition is just very different from smog and so forth. But it's hitting them very hard. It's not hitting Manuel in Cancun quite the same. But so they're on still a complete lockdown in Aguascalientes. And he's just asking for prayer. So there's Christians who are in lockdown around this world, because this virus is much more real than it is to us in Greenville. And so there are just these things to remind ourselves of and to be praying about them faithfully. And so I've used up a lot of time this morning, but I'd like just to take a few minutes for each of us to publicly encourage one another with some of the burdens that are on your heart to the Lord, but ultimately We're just laying these things with our God who is more than able. He's more than able to deliver our people. He's more than able to do what we can't even imagine because he has all power in heaven and in earth. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now for a few minutes. I'm just going to ask Brother Tim, if you just want to make a sweep. We have like 10 or 12 minutes we can safely, I say that, that's so carnal almost, safely before that clock hits that designated hour. But let's just take this time now and pray to our God. Brother Tim.
Father, but that's not just for us, Father. We thank you that you love everybody, and Jesus Christ went to the cross for everybody. Father, we just think of the people in our in our country and in the world today who don't know Jesus, and they don't know what he's done for them. And Father, they live their lives like they don't even care what he's done for them, yet he loves them. Father, we think of those people today and we lift them up to you and just ask that you do a work in their heart that only you can do, Father. And just pray that you soften those hard hearts that are constantly striving with you, constantly against you, that constantly shake their fists at you and refuse to believe in you and refuse to acknowledge you, Father. It reminds me of myself when I was younger, Father, and just the work that you did in my heart, I ask that you do it in their hearts. And Father, bring them to Christ. And help them to realize, Father, what you've done for them, that you took their sins upon yourself and you paid that debt. And it's just a free gift of salvation that's theirs if they'll just repent and accept Christ by faith, Father. So we pray for this country of ours that's in a mess right now. And Father, I would just pray for your Holy Spirit to sweep across this nation of ours, that hearts will be turned to you. We thank you that, Father, there's nothing we can do to be saved except believe. And it's just that simple. Help our family and our friends that are in the same condition, that are lost and on their way to hell without Jesus Christ. Help them just open their spiritually blind eyes today, Father, that they can see that their way to heaven is only through Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. Father, we pray for these people that don't know Jesus Christ because there is coming a judgment day. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment, Father. What side of that judgment are they going to be on? While there's still time, Father, I ask that you work in their hearts. We pray for all those Christians in our land and across the world that are being persecuted right now, even at this moment, Father, that you just protect them, that you'd give them strength and boldness at this time, that you'd encourage them, Father, that they would stand for you in the face of persecution, for their reward would be great, Father. I just pray for these people in the times they go through and the struggles they have, and it's even hard to pray for them, Father, because we're not faced with it. We've never been through it. But we know it's real. We know Christians do die every day. Father, I just ask that you bless them, that you protect them. Father, we just thank you that your word tells us we can come to you. We can come to your throne with boldness. And there we're going to find the mercy and the help we need in our time of trouble, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you that Jesus is our great high priest and he intercedes for us, Father. We thank you for that. And all that can be for the people who do not know Jesus Christ if they just repent of their sins and accept Christ by faith, Father. So that's our prayer here this morning, that the people out there that don't know Jesus Christ, before it's eternally too late, that their eyes would be opened and that they would accept Christ as their Savior. And we do pray for our country tonight too, Father, and today that the leaders of this country would humble themselves. They would see their need for Christ before it's too late, Father. And we pray that this great land of ours that you've blessed us with would be led by your word, Father, that you would guide and direct us. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We think of our great country that you have given us. We see evil men who would do anything to destroy it. But we know that you are in control. Pray that you would put a great fear into those ungodly men. Take away their security. Help them to get to the point where they can't do anything but cry out to you. We think of the many people at this time that you have placed in places of power who know you as Savior. They know what it's going to take to turn our country back to you. Pray that you would take away any fear that they have, that you would give them a great power to speak to the people of this country. We think of the walk on the 26th. It's a prayer walk and a prayer meeting in our nation. Pray that you would give a great group, great number to that group. But most of all, pray that you would show forth your great power and your control over everything at that time, that the ungodly might be silenced, and that you would turn our nation back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Father in heaven, we do come before you now humbly. Lord, your mercy is great towards us, and we're not deserving of it. Lord, we do thank you for your faithfulness, and that you've not consumed us, and that even though we do not draw nigh to you as we ought, you're patient with us, always leading us closer. And Lord, I do pray that you would be working in hearts across this nation, both in the saved and in the lost. And Lord, I do pray that you'd be working in hearts across the world. Lord, that we would be surrendering our hearts to you, that our desire would be to draw near to you, to abide in you, letting you work through us and in us. And Lord, I do ask for your forgiveness for our country, for not seeking you, not turning to you, not letting you work in our lives. Lord, I do pray that you would work, that you would cause us to surrender. Lord, I pray that you would be working in the lives, especially of the Christians across this world, Lord, in places of persecution and places of peace. Lord, that you would give boldness, that it might be said, as with Paul, that your name would be magnified and would be preached in the palace and in all other places. Lord, I know that is not the case right now. There is not, your word is not preached in all other places, and Lord, I do pray that you would call us to that. Lord, I pray that you would give strength to those Christians that are facing persecution. Give them boldness that they can proclaim the gospel in the face of death. Lord, I do pray that if it would be your will, you would save them and give them safety, that your name might be glorified, and that they might continue preaching the gospel and being Christian witnesses and testimonies for you. But Lord, I pray that your will would be done in this world as it is in heaven. Lord, that your name would be glorified. And Lord, we do thank you for what you've done in the past with the different revivals. Lord, we pray that you would send revival in our time. Lord, that revival might start in my heart and in the hearts of the Christians of this nation, of this church, and of the world. Lord, that we might seek your face. And Lord, I pray that you would make that revival spread in a great awakening to the world, that many would be saved. Lord, you have the power. And Lord, the harvest is ready. Lord, the laborers are few. And Lord, I do pray that you would send laborers into your harvest. And Lord, I do thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the health to be at church today. And Lord, we do pray for the many, Lord, that are suffering right now, be it from physical things or spiritual battles. Lord, I just ask you to be with them. Lord, forgive us, forgive me of my petty sins. Lord, even this morning, just getting frustrated about rotten eggs. Lord, are the things that distract us from your purpose, your great plan, your will. I just ask that you would work in our hearts, that you would mold us according to your will, according to your word, and that you would be able to use us. Lord, we're unable to do anything, but we trust that you can use us and that you want to use us. And we thank you for that. Lord, we do pray for our nation. Lord, we ask that you would work in the Christians across our land. Lord, they seem to be so distracted from things of this life, things of this world. I just ask that you would start the work in us, in this church, and the churches across this land. Lord, we think of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Lord, do the work in your people. I just ask that in the next few months that you would show yourself strong. Lord, we pray that you would work. Lord, we trust that you will work, for Lord, you promised. So Lord, we just humbly ask and beg that you would do mighty things, that all men would say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I just ask you to bless the rest of this day and just help our hearts to continually praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for your goodness toward us, Lord. And we do think of all these things that are going on in our nation right now. We think of the wildfires out west. And Lord, what a picture of the coming judgment, Lord, that so many will face. Father, Lord, as we sang throughout the Lifeline this morning, Father, I just pray that you'd forgive us, Lord, for our sin and for our lack of focus in on reaching the lost, Father. And I just pray that you would cause this country to wake up, help them to see how short-lived and vain all the things on this earth are. Lord, I just pray that you would cause, or that use all these things that are happening in our land to cause men to seek you, to seek your face, and to turn to you. Lord, we think of all the Christians around this world, Lord, that are suffering great persecution just because they, you know, claim your name, Lord, just because they trust in you. And Lord, we just pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them, give them wisdom, Lord, if it be your will, protect them. And Lord, may your gospel be multiplied through whatever happens in their lives and in our lives, Father. Lord, we just Thank you so much for your ultimate sacrifice that you gave for us, Lord. Help us not to turn back from the whatever cross you have us to bear in this life, and help us to just be faithful to you. And just pray that you would guide and direct now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please just be continuing in prayer for our nation and for these Christians around the world. For our brothers and sisters who aren't able to physically meet, and may God just continue to work in our hearts that we would just humble our own selves before Him. And when we do that, He said He would draw nigh. That was His promise. And so thank you this morning for all your participation in helping me read the passage. And let's just get ready for the next service now. Thank you.